The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We are all picking the Chargers. Mina hangs her head. I'm the guilty party if the NFL Live curse is alive and well.
Russell Wilson set to go, as is Justin Herbert. Pressure from Browning, and down goes Herbert. Refusing to go down. We're going to overtime. Nothing down the field for either offense. It's fourth down. Loose ball, and it belongs to the Chargers. The kick is good, and the Chargers win it in overtime.
Ooh, dangerously close to all of us being wrong again, but the Chargers survive in overtime and another loss for Russ and the Broncos.
Jealous.
More on that coming.
I think that's the first time you guys have ever said you were right.
Yeah, well, usually we're wrong. I know. That's Marcus Spears. That's Dan Orlovsky. That's Ryan Clark. Why are you jealous?
Because Dan can wear a shirt and his stomach don't hang over his belt.
Well, listen, if he keeps eating that plain chicken, it might hang over just one of these days. All right, so Marcus, I owe you something. We had a bet, Florida and LSU. My Gators lost to your Tigers. The bet was that if LSU won, I would have to have a Tiger face on TV. By the way, if Florida won, you're going to have a Gator face, but I have to be a Tiger. Bear with me, everyone. Bear with me here for the next however long we're doing this. I can't even.
This is the greatest day ever.
It takes Laura to have a fashionable Tiger face.
It is fashionable.
Yeah, that is
it looks amazing.
I did buy this because I am a woman of my word, Dan Orlovsky. And let me just say this. I may be acting professional right now. I am so angry. Like, the anger is boiling up inside me. So let's get to the highlight. Back to last night. We'll see if I can see it in my Tiger. Rawr! All right. Russell Wilson and the Broncos visiting the Chargers on Monday late in the first quarter. The Broncos at this point leading 3-0, and they're driving. Wilson steps up in the pocket. He finds Greg Dulcich. He takes it to the house, the 39-yard touchdown.
Right. There was a couple moments early in this game there. Russell used his feet and it looked like vintage Russell.
Yeah, you love to see it. Second quarter, same score. Chargers face 3rd-and-2 to the Broncos 6. Herbert to Eckler.
Rawr! That's what Eckler said when he went and drove through the Denver defense for this goal line score.
Chargers trailing 10-7 to the fourth quarter we go. The game is tied at 13. The Chargers with the ball. Herbert goes to Gerald Everett. It's tipped.
The Broncos defense flies to the football. It's a great job tipping the ball up. Browning with the pick. Ball on the ground. Recovery. Their defense is as good as there is in the NFL.
Yeah, the Broncos would get the field goal there. And then it's 16-13. Just over 5 minutes to go in the fourth. Chargers with 3rd-and-8. The Broncos 25. Herbert pressured. He targets Joshua Palmer. The pass is incomplete. Pass interference would be called on the Broncos. So let's go to overtime, guys. Chargers punting away to the Broncos. And Montrell Washington muffing the punt. The ball is loose. And the Chargers are able to recover it. Huge mistake for the Broncos, Dan.
Yeah, huge mistake for you wearing that mask as well. Really good job by the Broncos special teams unit.
Dustin Hopkins lining up for the game-winning field goal.
Toughest nails.
He act like he died.
Well, he's got a bad leg. He had injured himself. Exactly. All right, so the Chargers hang on in this one.
He's been hurt in his career.
Yeah, well, kickers aren't as tough as y'all. Okay, so Wilson got off to a hot start, completing his first 10 passes as the Broncos jumped out to a 10-0 lead. Dan talked about it. It looked like a little bit of vintage Russ. It was all downhill from there as Wilson completed only 5 of his 18 attempts in the remainder of the game for a total of 72 yards. After the first quarter, he went 1 of 7 on third down. Let's stay on this Broncos offense for a minute, Marcus. Why do they look so bad right now?
Yeah. RC, listen, man. This is what I was thinking about. Lord, this is freaking hilarious. Okay, everybody at home, bear with us through this block. Bro, I was thinking about this. And my issue was, one, let me just get this out. Mike Williams should have been involved in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Patrick Surtain was over there. We all have a high level of respect for the type of corner he is. Mm-hmm. And we know how good he is. But that's your best option for explosive plays, Los Angeles. And if Mike Williams has any of the cachet that I believe he has on that team, he wants that challenge, right? I thought they shied away from him a little bit too early. But more importantly, on Denver's side, you go in and you make adjustments. Like, you went 10 for 10. Did you think that the Chargers defense was going to come out and do the same thing?
Right.
Did you like so I'm looking at it and I'm asking myself, where is the diversification? Where are you changing up offensively how you attack this team?
I'm with you. I get all that. We're going to get into Russell Wilson later, you and I. He's not playing well. That's I cannot pin this on Nathaniel Hackett. They have issues that are more than just the quarterback.
100%.
There's moments when their offense has awful spacing in their pass game. And that's not absolving Russell from not playing well. This is a very basic concept. It should be curl flat up top and stick down to the bottom. Guys are on top of each other. I don't want to absolve the offensive line. They have not protected well. But now that they haven't protected well, Russell just panics in the pocket. I mean, he is running away from a completely clean pocket and a guy over the middle of the field that's open there. For a guy that has played all-pro type of football for a long time, to feel this panicky or unsettled in the pocket. Again, Russell Wilson is playing bad football. I don't believe he can see the defense at all right now. Mm. That is a whole nother topic we're going to get into later in the show. But they got issues on their offense, independent of Russell Wilson and independent of sitting here saying, the coach has got to go make an adjustment right now. I think they're trying, dude.
Yeah, stay tuned for that, by the way. We'll dive into it. Also, Broncos All-Pro safety Justin Simmons was asked about the issues in Denver. Guys, had an interesting response. Take a listen to this.
Something's obviously not going right, and, you know, we need to find a way to fix it. Everyone knows the definition of insanity, and, you know, we can't keep doing the same things week in and week out and think things are going to change. So, you know, from that standpoint, we just got to figure it out.
You know, it's interesting because he was activated before the game. Mm-hmm. RC, what do you make of his comments?
Well, I think the first thing is we all understand what expectation does, right? It makes us anxious. It makes us excited. And that's an emotion that's a good emotion. And when we don't meet those expectations or sometimes exceed those expectations, it breeds disappointment.
Right.
That was a disappointed player. That wasn't an upset player. That wasn't an angry player. That was a player that expected a bill of goods that had been sold to him in the offseason, and he hasn't gotten those things. When you think of playing with Drew Locke or Teddy Bridgewater as a defensive player, as a safety, I'm thinking to myself, okay, we understand what type of football we're going to have to play because we may have to bail out the offense. Well, when you get Russell Wilson, that's not what you think. You think to yourself, you know what, with our defense and the way that we play football, now adding a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, we are going to get relieved sometimes.
Right.
There are going to be some games where they pick us up offensively. And I'm going to tell you this. If I'm Justin Simmons and I just played against the Los Angeles Chargers and Justin Herbert, and he threw the football over 50 times and they only scored 19 points in the overtime game, I ain't got to change what I'm doing. I'm actually not insane. So if he's talking about that level of insanity, it's the offense continuing to do the same things, and those things need to change.
Yeah, I mean, it's that offense that's averaged 15.2 points per game this season. That's good for the fewest in the NFL. Let's switch to the Chargers, though, because they did get the win, Dan, but it wasn't pretty. Happened in overtime. Why?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to feel pretty good if you're the Chargers right now. I mean, Justin, let's look at this. For the first 6 weeks, they're 4-2. They've done that without their star left tackle. They played last night without their center. Their quarterback's been playing basically with like half of his ribs, and they're missing their premier edge rusher. To sit there at 4-2, you feel pretty darn good about it. Now, do I think that they can become a bona fide Super Bowl contender trying to cover up from the left tackle? Because you see that in their offense right now. They're an offense that we all sit here and say they should push the ball downfield. They're doing it without Keenan Allen as well. Can you do that without the left tackle in the center? You know, like, the giant question mark still about the Chargers, and I think it's fair to say, is the head coach decision-making, and I think we all love Brandon Staley, but some of the decision-making is like, what the heck, dude? And then the health. I don't know what Joey Bosa is going to be like. I don't know what Corey Linsley's health is going to be like.
It's a good point, too, about Herbert's ribs.
Let me ask you a question, though. Like seriously, bro, because you know me and you can fight about offense. But if, like, you look around the league, like, I know when RC and he was in Pittsburgh playing defense and I was in Dallas, I'm like, I like what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, let's try to – why are these coaches with offensive line issues kind of unknown, not looking at in New York at Day Bowl?
Yeah.
And like trying to steal some, like, what do you think it is?
I tell you, in New York, they have a quarterback that they're trying to protect, where in Denver, they have a quarterback they're trying to unleash. That's the number one thing.
Mm.
Denver's been sacked 20 times this year. I think 13 or 14 of the sacks have come from the shotgun. And Russell Wilson, we're going to get into this a little bit more. He is way too stationary.
Yeah.
It is catch, throw. You know exactly where I'm going to be. You better start moving the pocket.
And that's not his game. RC, they lost in the win, I think, is the fact that J.C. Jackson was benched in this game. Yeah. What's going on there? Think about this Chargers secondary.
I've taken a lot of heat whenever asked to do those stupid top five list of cornerbacks
we don't ask you to do those
few things. Years for not putting J.C. Jackson in my top five. And I felt like he was the guy who got the football, but he didn't seem shut down to me. I didn't see those elite talent cornerback traits that we've seen from guys like a Jalen Ramsey or a Darius Slay. And last night, I kind of talked to Jalen a little bit about the position he's being put in and Brandon Staley's defense, because if you remember, it's the exact same way Jalen Ramsey was asked to play. And he's like, man, it's a difficult position to play. And this was his statement: I'm just built differently. And I think we have to realize, much like Nnamdi Asamoah, who was a star in Oakland for the Raiders back in the day, he goes to Philadelphia, and when they pay you a certain amount of money, they ask you to go earn that money in a different way sometimes than how you got it. And they say, you know what, we think you can be on one side by yourself, play whatever technique you need to play, and you can handle it and you can step up. J.C. Jackson hasn't been able to do that. And so now you're going to have to understand and maybe look back. The scheme in New England fits me. The other players that I played with fit me. Now Brandon Staley's going to have to maneuver that to allow this scheme to fit J.C. Jackson.
It's fascinating. According to NFL Next Gen stats, J.C. Jackson has allowed a passer rating of 146.9 as the nearest defender in coverage this season. Yeah, that's second worst among defensive backs.
I thought he would benefit from who was around him.
Yeah, hasn't happened. Guys, let's get to Cowboys-Eagles, okay? The Eagles, of course, asserted their dominance, remaining undefeated, and Cooper Rush finally threw some interceptions, three, in fact, on Sunday against Philadelphia. Marcus Spears said yesterday, though, he's not even worried about the Cowboys because they're going to get Dak back soon. Here is Jerry Jones with an update today.
Let's just say this. He's determined to, from my perspective, from what I can know and see, I think he's going to get there. We feel like that physically he's at a position that the risk reward justifies him being out there in terms of any reoccurrence of the injury. To set that one off to the side, we don't have that to think about. So it's a question of him getting ready. And he's going to be given every opportunity this week to get ready to go play.
Marcus, what will this offense look like once Dak's back out
there? I believe it'll be more explosive. They need to kind of stay in the same vein that they're in.
Yeah, I agree.
The one thing I think, though, when I say explosive, with Dak, you have an opportunity to get up on teams. It's the worst position to be against this defense. And I think that's what you'll see change more than anything. This defense has been more so carrying the load and making sure we're keeping the game close enough in order for this offense to get going. And we saw Cooper Rush in at the end of some games be able to come through at the end. Dak may give you a 14-point lead with this pass rush. So that's what I think is going to change about this team.
Then there's Tua Tagovailoa, who seems poised to return from the concussion that knocked him out of Week 4's loss to Cincinnati. Dan, if he returns, what are you watching for?
Is he scared? And that's a real thing. That's not a knock on Tua.
That's
like,
real.
What's he look like in the pocket when people are coming around him? Because Tua's usually really good at like moving the pocket and hanging in there and delivering a throw. You guys remember what it looked like the last time we saw this young man on the field?
Yeah.
And that's outside of football scary type of stuff, you know? So just being real as a human being, I would just want to see, like, what is he like when a body comes near him? Is he able to hang in there and deliver the football? Or does he try to kind of bail a little bit and out of just out of
that's
the
a reality, bro?
Yeah, just
that's
scary. A reality. Yeah, yeah. He has to see what he looks like in those moments.
He's come back from big injuries before. Yeah.
But not like this.
But not like this. Yeah. This is different, totally. Yeah. Mac Jones hasn't played since injuring his ankle late in the Pats' Week 3 loss to Baltimore, but his backup, Bailey Zappe, played well in relief. RC, if Mac's close, would you rush him back this week?
Absolutely not. Like, why are we rushing him back? Like, and this is no knock on Mac Jones, but the New England Patriots don't play a brand of football where they're asking their quarterback to carry them. This is not Josh Allen being out. This is not Patrick Mahomes. This is not not Aaron Rodgers. This is a team that's going to be built on the run game, defense, and having a quarterback who can play well and play action and be a good decision maker. And Bailey Zappe has been that the last 2 weeks for the New England Patriots. So you allow Mac Jones to be as healthy as possible. And then now when he comes back, you hit the ground running, doing exactly what you want to do as an offense.
Some more quarterback news to update you on. Taylor Heinicke will start for the Commanders on Sunday.
Commanders going to start winning now.
Uh-oh. He replaces Carson Wentz, who underwent surgery on his right ring finger last night. Kenny Pickett remains in the concussion protocol, but his practice work will not be limited this week. Regarding his status for Sunday's game, Mike Tomlin said, quote, if he can play, he will play. We're just getting started on NFL Live, and DeAndre Hopkins is back from his six-game suspension in Arizona. Stick around to see what RC thinks about his return. And plus, Dan and RC are going to come to the test and show us what went wrong with Russell Wilson and the Broncos offense last night. You do not want to miss it. Marcus, can I take this off now? Okay, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Phenomenal.
I'm never making another bet with you ever again in my life.
Hey, you harder than a lot of brothers, though. A lot of folks wouldn't have made that bet, Lauren.
I couldn't see the entire time.
Hair was in your
eye. Hair, everything.
You the goat. You the goat, Whip.
Wow.
Boogie did it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Sunday NFL Countdown has you covered for Week 7, 10 a.m. Eastern. And the Monday Night Countdown crew gets you set for Bears-Patriots, 6 Eastern, both on ESPN and the app. Let's read and react to some news from around the NFL here on NFL Live. We start with Arizona, where DeAndre Hopkins will return to the team following his 6-game suspension for PEDs. This happens on Thursday, and D-Hop addressed the media just moments ago.
Turn up, D-Hop.
It feels different. Obviously, I haven't been able to really participate in everything, so being out there, running routes, catching balls, feels good.
Man, it seems like every time you see him, you know, out on the field, it's like there's a reason why he's the best, you know, and I'm excited for him, excited to be able to throw him the ball again, you know what I'm saying? Never took that for granted, but, man, I'm just happy for him. Team is definitely, you know, appreciative of having him back, so.
For those hats, you think it's cold in Arizona? since the start of last season, the Cardinals 3-8, and Kyler Murray starts when DeAndre Hopkins is out of the lineup. But with Hopkins available, as he will be Thursday night, the Cardinals 8-2. The offense has averaged over 29 points per game with D-Hop there. So, RC, do you think this offense immediately takes a leap forward with D-Hop back on the field?
Listen, absolutely. Listen, this offense is derived from the air raid, and the air raid has always been more about people than necessarily creativity, what you can do schematically. And be honest, when's the last time we saw Kyler Murray actually smile in any sort of interview or press conference? He understands how good that he is, that D-Hop is. He understands that D-Hop makes quarterbacks that we don't necessarily consider talented look talented when he plays. And also now you have Robbie Anderson that you can get the deep threat. You lose Marquise Brown to injury maybe for the rest of the season, but now you have these two players and one of the best of all time in DeAndre Hopkins returning. This is great for Kyler Murray, also for the Arizona Cardinals offense.
It's going to be interesting to see how they look game one back together, though, especially with Robbie Anderson coming into the fold.
Man, D-Hop gets the ball from you, Laura.
D-Hop's, well, Yeah, that'd be really hard because I throw like a wobbly duck fart in the air. All right, next up, Atlanta, where Marcus Mariota threw for two touchdowns and ran for another in the Falcons' upset of the 49ers. But it wasn't just yesterday that was impressive. Look at this. For the season as a whole, the Falcons' offense has been one of the best in the NFL. Let's tell you about it. So, Marcus, what stood out to you about the Falcons' offense on Sunday, though?
Yeah, this RPO is phenomenal. And look, it's two teams in the league right now, the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles, that put you in a bind because their quarterbacks are super athletic and they understand how to run this offense as well as anybody. Mariota did a little bit of this at the University of Oregon, and then Arthur Smith coming over from the Tennessee Titans, very familiar with Marcus Mariota and his skill set as well. This team is a good physical football team from the offensive standpoint.
Yep.
And that quarterback that they have in Marcus Mariota, I think he's finally found a spot to resurrect his career. I expect him to be the quarterback in Atlanta for a long time. And this team, from a physical standpoint, you better bring your pads when you play against them.
Interesting, because I think a lot of people thought maybe Mariota was more of like a stopgap. Uh-huh. And, you know, listen, either
way. Playing his way into it.
We love it. Arthur Smith knew what he was doing. Yeah, let's go to New England. The Patriots defense picked off Jacoby Brissett twice, sacked him four times in their blowout win over the Browns. Over the last 2 weeks, the Pats defense leads the NFL in efficiency, completion percentage, and takeaways. Mm. Dane, you were even saying last week you might buy some stock in these Patriots.
2 weeks ago.
Okay, 2 weeks ago. Excuse me, trying to give you credit.
That's against two good offenses.
What do you like about the Pats D?
Well, they have one superstar in Matthew Judon, but they have a young player that now is becoming a second superstar, and that is their safety, Kyle Duggar. He is doing an incredible job. First of all, very good in coverage, not only tracking in man, but the ability to go make a play on the football. For a quarterback, you feel pretty good throwing that ball there. He tracks it down. They do a great job of allowing him to be down at linebacker level in the run game and then using him as a blitzer, too. I said this. He reminds me a little bit. Oh, my goodness. Reminds me a little bit of an old-school Rodney Harrison that Patriot fans know. I asked RC who he kind of remembers or resembles to him a little bit. He said Adrian Wilson from the Cardinals long ago. He's violent. He's physical. He's fast. He can cover. He can play the run. They play him all over the place.
Lenore Ryan.
I think they're the best team to beat the Chiefs and or Bills.
Wow, the best team to beat the Chiefs or the Bills. We'll remember that you said that, and if you're wrong, we're going to remind you. Coming up, the Packers' struggles continue as they fall to the Jets.
Remind you.
Our guys think it's less about Aaron Rodgers and more about the O-line. That's next on NFL Live. Keep it right here.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Monday Night Football returns with a matchup between the Bears and Patriots from Foxborough, 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Peyton and Eli also back on ESPN2. Our coverage begins, as always, with Monday Night Countdown at 6. Woo! The Packers are struggling.
Jeez.
Losing to the Jets, 27-10. The Packers have lost consecutive regular season games within the same season for the first time since Coach Matt LaFleur's arrival in 2019. Yep. Aaron Rodgers says the Packers need to do more offensively. And here's what LaFleur said to that.
So, no, we talked about it. It's just anytime that there's a lack of execution, and certainly we got to coach better, no doubt about it. We've got to put our guys in better positions. It really doesn't matter what we do schematically. If we don't block better, it's hard to do anything. And I think that was the number one issue yesterday.
We need to simplify our own game, both fundamentally and execution-wise. And again, it's not anything against the
the staff, because those guys put a lot of work into it. They care about it a lot, and they try and detail the plan to us as much as possible. But at some point, it's got to be the accountability has got to fall on the players to go out and execute.
Okay, so that response from Rodgers was today on the Pat McAfee show. Marcus, is this a scheme issue in Green Bay?
It could be, but this game was about your offensive line and being destroyed. Like, this is people at home, this is football 101. This is not an analysis. This is not about some X's and O's or some quick fix. If you can't block them, you can't win the game. That's really what the NFL boils down to. And the New York Jets defensive line had their way. They had their way in line stunts. Quentin Williams got to the quarterback. Sheldon Rankins got to the quarterback. Joseph Myers got to the quarterback. This was not about the receivers for Green Bay. It wasn't about Matt LaFleur's play calling. If you are allowing people to knock your quarterback silly every time he dropped back, if you're getting tackles for losses, and when your two guards are the main culprits of giving up pressure, and y'all know how I talk about center of the pocket pressure now is more important than outside edge pressure, right? Aaron Rodgers had nowhere to go.
Let me tell you kind of what can help your offensive line, because their offensive line is not the same unit as it's been the years
right,
past.
Right, absolutely.
Put your daggum quarterback under the center. Okay?
That like, helps.
What's happened in the past that, 2 weeks is because teams are playing them in a little bit more man coverage, and I think it's a little bit talent. It's also the RPOs, how to stop it. Look at this. I mean, we're talking almost like a 6-to-1 ratio of Aaron being in the gun and under center. We had that huge conversation 2 weeks ago. I believe in it because they are an offensive line right now that – isn't having the opportunity to consistently lean on people and try to wear people out. Go watch this team run play action. And I love Matt. This used to be one of the best play action passing offense. Dude, watch the defense for the Jets. Who's the middle linebacker?
Mosley.
He doesn't even respect the play action fakes.
Nope,
there's plays where they're going to ball fake. Mosley's turning and running to go defend a concept. Yeah. So that's a big part is like when you're so gun dependent, you're not giving the defense, one, things that look the same, and two, you're really not putting them in hesitation.
Yeah, but Dan, it's not even about putting people where they're hesitating or they're trying to figure out what you're doing. It's that Matt LaFleur has been extremely successful as the head coach and offensive coordinator or play caller of this team for 3 years. They've won 13 games in every regular season. And so sometimes you start to call plays because it's just natural to you. This is what we've been doing because we've had Devontae and we've had Aaron Rodgers. And so you lose the creativity. The creativity that you sometimes, I don't like to call NFL players bad. The creativity that you sometimes have to have when you're not more talented than the other team.
I agree.
Which this team is not anymore.
Right.
And you think about, like, these coaches, as they get along, they're saying, you know what, this is what I do. We're going to plug these people into these spots because this is who we are. But if Matt LaFleur wants to look at someone who uses creativity, someone who's kind of working his way through not having players that he feels are more talented than the other team, call your little brother. Call your brother and say, hey, man, you remember when you was in the bunk bed underneath me? What was those plays you was calling on Tecmo Bowl?
Yeah.
Because those plays seemed to work whether you was playing with the Raiders who had Bo Jackson or you was playing with the Cleveland Browns.
So I think the little brother is still in, like, the beginning points of the offense that they come from. The Kyle Shanahan.
Just a reminder really quickly.
Little brother Mike LaFleur is with the Jets.
Thank you for that. Don't know. No. Go ahead.
He's still in like the beginning parts of that offense where he's still dependent on the foundational principles, which is quarterback is under center a lot. I got five things that look like the same off of this formation or this action. So he's still there where Matt's a little bit more evolved, but Matt needs to get back to that. I think Sean McVay needs to get back to that a little bit candidly. That's the principle of where they built. I don't think there's panic mode in Green Bay. Their offensive line needs to play better. They got to get Aaron Jones the football more.
Yeah.
They hit three or four more shots that just miss. It's a different story. But it's also ignorant to just ignore. Dude, defensive coaches watch take two.
Yeah.
There's predictability in your offense.
You wonder if they maybe underestimated the Jets a little bit too, which is
Or you just enamored with 12 and you think he can
Could
bail
be.
You out of everything.
All right, this new one NFL Live, this news just coming in. Never mind, we're doing something else first. So let's do this. So as we talk about the Packers, they're currently 3-3. So let's get to some quick reads here. Give me a team, RC, 500 or worse, that you think can make some noise in the back half of the season.
I think it's the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, when you look at this team, you believe in who Lou Anarumo is as a defensive coordinator, what this defense could do. And also when you watch Ja'Marr Chase, as teams have shifted in the way that they play him creating plays. plays like this on a hitch that go for 50. Also, understand that T. Higgins is going to get healthier, and Joe Burrow seeming to understand how he has to navigate the pocket now with this new offensive line. The sky's the limit for this team on the back half.
We thought that this division was going to be the greatest division in football, and that because of how it has went, that's what makes me think the Las Vegas Raiders is not away in this division. We watched the Chargers and the Broncos play last night. Nothing to write home about. Positive things that they could take away from the Kansas City Chiefs. One, we went toe-to-toe. We hit explosive plays. We got the run game going with Josh Jacobs. Obviously, defensively, you got some issues. I don't think the Raiders are dead yet.
I got respect for you picking. Now, I'm on the Patriots train. I've been that way since they were 1-3 because a lot of different aspects, but the receivers on the perimeter are starting to make some plays. Devontae Parker has become a guy that can throw those opportunity throws up to. Jacoby Myers does not look like he's been covered in like 4 weeks. The wiggle that he has.
Really good route runner.
Right? He's become a very difficult matchup, a very good route runner that ties a lot of his routes together. The Patriots defense is playing great, run game. The perimeter guys are starting to play good football.
Here's the news I was excited about. Another 500 team. New on NFL Live. Adam Schefter reporting the Ravens signing veteran wide receiver DeSean Jackson. Jackson back for his 15th NFL season. He turns 36 in December. Dan, you think about it. They don't have Hollywood Brown. DeSean Jackson, a speedy guy you'd hope, who takes the top off potentially. What does this add?
That certainly adds speed. How healthy is he going to be? How reliable can he be during that time frame? Mark Andrews is the focal point of their pass game. Bateman's got to get healthy, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's
made some plays for sure, but
the Bateman
it adds speed, but I don't want to put all my eggs in this basket.
Yeah, I think for me, it changes the dynamic of this team because of Lamar Jackson. And it gives you a little bit more room to operate, right? Like, we all know DeSean may not come in and light the world on fire, but we know when he's streaking down the middle of the field, you got to respect that as a defense. And I think Lamar has gotten in a little bit of trouble of not having that threat available to him. So if you just say, hey, DeSean, take off and let me work everything underneath this. For Lamar Jackson and his eyes and the way he's struggling late in games, I think it could be an advantage if they can create something. This puts Greg Roman on call. It has nothing to do for me with the quarterback.
The biggest thing is about awareness and acceptance. They're aware of who they are and what they don't have on the outside. They've accepted it, and now they're trying to do something to correct it, and that's what DeSean Jackson is about. I'm not sure that he's enough, but it's at least a step in the right direction.
Yeah, obviously they're looking around saying, we need to do something. They know that
Absolutely.
They've got to add more to this offense. Up next on NFL Live, the Broncos' offensive struggles continue. Dan and RC head to the touchscreen to tell you exactly what they're seeing that Russell Wilson isn't. Don't miss this. It's next.
Be nice.
Come on now.
They hear what? They hear who? They feeling us. Tell them get in tune.
It's time for Dan and RC.
I'm in my zone.
This is actually my favorite day that we've ever done this. Kevin Byard may have picked off Dan's two favorite quarterbacks in the last 2 weeks.
Thought we were close. So DBs like you can't put hands on me at the line of scrimmage.
I don't know what the hell they're playing.
He's actually where he's not supposed to be. Condensed splits, big posts, tutties.
This what they wanted. This what they get. I'm in my zone.
Hey guys, it is Touchscreen Tuesday again, and you know it's our favorite segment of the day, and we're about to get it going. But listen, I'm gonna have to unbutton my jacket. We've been stuffy ever since Laura put that tiger face on. And listen here, we're gonna tell you about Mr. Unlimited being very limited. So Dano, let's ride.
All right, I wanna start with the pressure that kinda took the internet by storm last night. And I'm watching, and I'm going, do the Denver Broncos have any plan for blitz because this happened so quickly? I'm gonna round it back. I don't care if they haven't seen this scout look before.
Talk about
okay?
The first thing is this, though,
talk
Dano.
To me.
Right, if I'm looking here, if I'm Derwin James,
yes.
I want Russell Wilson to think that we're coming off the edge. So he's going to stack here on Kyle Van Noy.
And I'm going to say, well, that's cool, but the stack tells me everything. Everybody at home, let me bring in the quarterback one-on-one. Kyle Van Noy is a defensive end or outside linebacker. He's standing up. This guy on the opposite side has his hand in the ground. Initially, my thought is, well, his hand in the ground because he's a rusher, and he is standing up because he has at least the intent or ability to become a dropper.
Yeah, he definitely has the intent or the ability to become a dropper, but I'm going to tell Kyle Van Noy, I want you to step toward this tackle. And the one thing Derwin James needs to do is not show, at least to the interior of the line, that he's going to be an inside blitzer in the A-gap.
That's great. Now, I want to bring it all the way back to the beginning because I always say this. Math is always, or football is always about being math.
All right, they have five guys across the line of scrimmage to charge. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I will put Van Noy in that mix. Now, I got five guys in protection as well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Great. That means that the front essentially is taken care of. This is football 101. Have a plan for pressure. What it means is this. Any of these three guys, 1, 2, or 3, if one of those guys come, my back can block them. If
but, look, I want you to show, put the glove on Russell Wilson's hand. He's just pointing the tranquil. He's not even counting.
Exactly. He should. If one of those guys come, we're fine. If two of the three guys come, which they can, then I got to have some kind of answer to get the ball to my hands. And he doesn't. That's why tranquil becomes unblocked. There's absolutely no plan right now. There's Jerry Jeudy on the out route that could be thrown. No plan. That happened all night. But that clip was important. Now here, this is the play that I want to tell everybody.
Talk about, first of all, before you get to this play, this is the simplest coverage in football.
This is a
basic cover three. He's going to get stick slant. And right now, I am showing you, if I'm the Los Angeles Chargers, that this is the hook dropper. He's going to be a curl flat dropper. This is who you're playing off of.
All right, so I drew the concept for us up front. This is stick to the right.
Yep.
We run this versus too high defense when middle field open. This is slant flat to the left. We run this versus one high safety where one guy's in the middle of the field. This is very basic, but RC, everything starts with this middle linebacker for the quarterback. That guy's there for a reason. If he's there, that means that somebody is dropping down because they all have rules of where they have to get.
Now, the other problem is this. This is Russell Wilson. If I'm Derwin James, I want a disguise, right?
Okay.
I'm playing against a future Hall of Famer.
Right.
There's no way that he misses this. He lines up right where he's going to be going into the curl flat.
And he drives down to this flat route.
Right.
But here's my thing with everybody at home. Russell Wilson catches this snap, and he immediately stares this way. When you look where you're going to throw the bad guys, you're bringing them to the party. That's what we always say. This linebacker moves right now to that where Russell's eyes are going there, because what happens here is this. This flat defender takes that flat as he should. There is a giant slant window.
But here's also the other problem, right? With this wide split, now Derwin James is able to stay into this window long enough that Russell Wilson's eyes brings the backer there, and now he has to escape out of the pocket.
This play should be an absolute walk-in touchdown for Denver. As long as he held that safety, which quarterbacks do, or that linebacker, they do all the time, that on 3rd and 2 might be a walk in slant, but instead it's a scramble around bad play. Here's my point for the last one. That's why I don't think Russell Wilson is seeing the field well, because it's one of two things. You don't know what to look at. He's played for 10 years at a high level, or you can't see what you're supposed to look at. And I think the Broncos need to take a hard dive into sitting there going, we got to move the quarterback more than just allowing him to be a stationary target.
Well, I think the big thing is this. If you're Nathaniel Hackett, you have to figure out a way to get your future Hall of Fame quarterback to play like a Hall of Famer, because right now he is not. He is very limited, and if he continues to be limited, you'll be at home in the playoffs.
I agree.
We'll see if he gets on the move a little bit more soon. And it's time we give a little bit more love to the Packers and the Jets, but really mainly the Jets. They've got everyone's attention. Here why RC says those big draft picks are putting the Jets on the map. Developing story here on NFL Live, the NFL owners meeting took place in New York today. Washington Commanders owner Dan Snyder not in attendance, but our Dan Graziano was there. Dan, did Snyder's ownership become a topic amongst the other owners that you've heard?
It sure did, Laura. About 5 minutes ago, Indianapolis Colts team owner Jim Irsay was speaking to a large group of reporters here at the Conrad Hotel in New York, and the topic of Dan Snyder came up, and Irsay said, I think there is merit to removing him as owner of the team. He used the team's old name, unfortunately, but definitely the point was made. He made it over and over again. He talked about the investigation, the stuff that's come out into the workplace culture there in Washington. He said it's a tough issue, but it's one that he feels like the league's owners need to look squarely in the eye and deal with it. They are not voting on anything tonight with regard to this, but it's certainly something that is going to come up in conversation as they continue to meet here. Irsay said he thinks it's possible that they might have the 24 votes needed to remove him, even though that wouldn't take place at these meetings, possibly some meetings down the road.
Yeah, the quote also that you're reporting, I believe that is the road we need to go down, from Irsay as it relates to removing Dan Snyder. Thanks so much to Dan Graziano for the latest there from the NFL owners meetings. We wondered
if Snyder's ownership would come up, and turns out it absolutely did. We'll keep our eye on this story. As we turn it back to football, we get to the New York Jets, a big topic of conversation around the NFL right now.
The New York Jets defensive is absolutely dominating.
My man, Quinnen Williams. Look at Quinnen Williams make this dude turn his back.
Them boys is bringing leather.
Yeah, very aggressive defense, and that's what we expected. Yeah.
You got DJ Reed on one side, came from Seattle. Sauce Gardner locking up on the other side.
They are going to be the reason why they continue to win games.
The Jets defense has been flying around during New York's three-game winning streak. And over the last 3 weeks, Robert Saleh's group has five interceptions compared to just one passing touchdown allowed. They rank second in defensive efficiency during that span, trailing only the Patriots. RC, what is it about this defense that's allowed them to take such a big leap forward this season?
First off, they got people.
Yeah.
And Ken Griffey Jr., when I got to sit with him on the pivot, told me, the name on the back of the jersey is the one you have to believe in. The name on the front is the one you have to respect. Mm-hmm. We don't respect the name on the front of the jersey because we haven't seen the New York Jets play high-level defense or high-level football. But the names on the back of the jerseys are the ones we should learn, like Gardner, like Williams, like Mosley. All of these guys, Whitehead, they can run, they can hit, they play physically, and they play confident. On the back end with DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner, you have corners that are playing excellent ball. Jordan Whitehead running to the football, creating splash plays. And also Quan Alexander, Williams, Mosley in the middle, and Quinnen Williams is a flat-out dog up front that was picked in the top five.
Yeah.
We sit here like they don't have a roster full of talented players, and the New York Jets need to be respected because of the people on that team, but more so because of the way they're playing together
Joe Douglas right now is the lead for executive of the year. Their general manager.
I was just about to allude to something in that regard. I remember when Robert Saleh said, I'm keeping receipts.
Yeah. Mm.
This is exactly what he was talking about. He's seen this before. In San Francisco.
Yeah.
Mm. He's seen high-level draft picks on the defensive line.
You're right.
He's had lockdown corners on that defense, and his two linebackers were absolute dogs in the middle of his defense when it comes to running and hitting people. This was very familiar to him, and I think more than anything, because remember at that time, Zach Wilson wasn't back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, what the hell would make Robert Saleh say that.
Like, step on that leg.
Yeah, like, when we looking at the Jets, and to your point, RC, the names on the back. He's been here before, and now this team is starting to show what he's done schematically in San Francisco was no fluke. Yeah. Defensively, he built it in that image, and it's starting to pay dividends. I got a question for you after Dan.
Real quick, we had them in the preseason this year. I remember them telling the story. Last year, they scrimmaged against the Eagles, and they got whooped, and they knew it. This year, they did it against
the Falcons.
And they in the practices, they were like, we got shot.
Yeah.
They knew it was a litmus test that really showed them. They were realistic about it, too.
This when y'all covered them.
Yeah, okay. They knew preseason they were legit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, number one, offensive, from my perspective, their defensive line movement makes it really hard to know where they're going to be after the snap, both in the run and the pass game. They're just lining up in their traditional four-man front. Those stunts, right? Those pirate slants, Marcus. It changes everything when it comes to an offensive lineman. So in the run game, they're good with it. And in the pass game, we see this overload front all the time. They got guys that can rush the passer, and there comes this two-man stunt where you go inside as the rush edge, and here comes the wraparound.
No, they're right.
You know what I was thinking watching this tape was the defensive line so good, it doesn't need the secondary. The secondary is so good, it doesn't need a defensive line, but they got each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a question I want to ask you guys. When was the last time we saw a team that was just four-man front? Like, that's their identity, when the defensive tackle was their best player.
I think it was Sapp in Tampa. Yeah.
Tampa Bay.
Like San Francisco was Bosa.
I mean, the New York Giants were Justin Tuck.
They were Tuck and Michael Strahan.
Seattle was Michael Bennett.
Aaron, maybe?
Yeah. I think Tampa Bay
but Tampa
was the last
is
that just true four-man front with a defensive tackle.
With Boog, Sapp.
I think the big thing about this team is, though, they're starting to believe. And when you have a lot of young players on the team, those conversations are different because of the naivety, right? Like, Sauce Gardner walking out of Green Bay with a cheese head on.
Right. No clue.
Like, somebody with some sense doesn't do that.
Right.
Like, that's Aaron Rodgers. That's the frozen tundra.
Could care
like,
less.
The hell with that.
Yep.
Today, right. I'll bust y'all head.
Yeah. Yeah, and then someone knocked the cheese head off of him as
Lizard.
He was going to the locker.
Yeah, Lizard did.
It's fine.
All
right, time for one more thing before we go. Hey, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he's talking about getting some more help today on the Pat McAfee Show.
So we've had conversations. I trust that they'll be in the mix on certain guys that they like. As always, it comes down to need price, you know, cost of those certain players. But I know Brian's going to do what's best for our football team. And if he feels like adding a guy or two to the mix, then I'm sure he's going to try and make that happen.
Okay, so the Packers in the market potentially for a wide receiver, as it were. Then this tweet today from Field Yates, everybody's in the market. The Chiefs have restructured the contract of all-pro tight end Travis Kelce, converting base salary into a signing bonus to clear $3.455 million in cap space, per a source.
Odell Beckham Jr. Seems like a pretty standard
financial move. Marcus says, okay, this is for OBJ.
I'm telling you, y'all.
Packers want him too.
It's no coincidence that this happened after the Bills game. It's no coincidence.
So 14-13.
I'm just trying to put I'm just trying to put the pieces together. Now you can make an argument that they need a more prolific pass rusher to add to that defensive line.
You talking about the Chiefs?
Yeah. But if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, right, and you see we lost 24-20 and our quarterback threw two picks.
You know what I think is interesting with the OBJ stuff? 2 weeks ago, I said the Rams have no chance of winning the Super Bowl without him. I think OBJ now has to look at the Rams and ask, are they legit?
Are they legit?
With all the injuries they're dealing with.
The Chiefs are a better option.
Maybe now the Chiefs.
Kansas City is where Odell Beckham Jr. should go.
The Chiefs and or the Packers.
You think he'd go to the Packers, though?
I do. For another Super Bowl, but for an opportunity to show what he did in the playoffs for the Los Angeles Rams.
There's better chance in KC.
Good chance. We're going to be talking about this tomorrow.
I'm telling you.
On NFL Live. Trade deadline. 2 weeks from today. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holler at you later.